Would you turn, please, to the Gospel by Luke and chapter 24, verse 25. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 10. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 and verse 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. My purpose tonight is not to give a full-bodied address on these valuable scriptures that we've read, but rather to introduce the exercise that we hope to develop during the next several days while we are together. And in so doing, I would like just to give a little word as to how it is hoped that the various parts of the week will blend together. In other words, I'd like to outline the role of the workshops in the morning, the Bible readings later in the morning, and the addresses in the evening, all with the one intent of bringing to bear upon the soul the truth of the Word of God. Now that's why we are here. Now, I'd like to start with a word about the workshops, which commenced at Ashburnham about 1980. And I think perhaps we are at a suitable point in history to recall why we started them, what we've hoped to achieve, and how these things have tended to work out in practice. For any who don't know, we were able to contract Ashburnham Hall at very competitive rates, and we were very pleased to do that. And then it emerged that the rates were so favourable because it was an educational establishment. And the rates which were so favourable were only possible because a certain number of hours during each day were spent on what were called educational purposes. And of course, when we come together as disciples of the Lord Jesus to learn from him, in the broadest sense of the term, this can be looked at as educational purposes within the terms of Ashburnham Trust. And it was with not a little trepidation that we embarked upon that, conscious that it hadn't been done before in our conferences, conscious too that there may be one or two misgivings. And over the years, we have changed the pattern slightly from year to year. For instance, at first, the morning workshops tended to be introductory to the Bible readings and directly related to them. In other words, we tended to talk over the scripture to be considered with the intent that we would have the background to it when the formal Bible reading started. After one or two years like that, we tended to move on to the kind of discussion which was not directly related but indirectly related to the Bible readings, considering major issues, major concepts, which might emerge in the Bible reading, but there wouldn't be time to go into them in great detail. And then for the last year or two, we've had another little change, whereby we have taken matters unrelated to the Bible readings as such, but with the overall motive that by the time the Bible reading commences at 11 a.m., we are alert, we are interested, we are receptive, we are anxious to have the truth of God imparted to us by the Holy Ghost, and we are ready for the discussion in the formal Bible reading. Now, that's very good, and overall, it's to that end. But as with all good things, there is a possibility of misunderstanding. And so it will always be with this kind of function. Once or twice, misgivings have been expressed, and it's good to be honest about these things. There have been reservations expressed in case the way we spend an hour between 9:30 and 10:30 in a semi-holiday situation at a conference might become an excuse for any, in any part of the country, to throw overboard assembly principles and practice. Now, I assure you that if there was any danger of that occurring, the workshops as such would be dropped like a hot brick. But after all, when we think about it, as in the days of Malachi, those who came together spent time thinking about their Lord, thinking about their God, conversing about things that pertained to life and godliness. If we meet each other on the street, in the home, outside a meeting, before or afterwards, surely it is good to have godly conversation. And certainly, with this requirement at Ashburnham to provide an additional 45 minutes of educational or pseudo-educational activity, it was felt that if we gossip together with like-minded believers about Christian things, it would be time well spent. And certainly in practice, those who come to the conferences have, on request or even without it, said from time to time, whatever else happens at the conference, please, we like the workshops, please maintain them. So, for that and other reasons, we are spending time Monday to Friday in thinking about Christian things, not directly related to the exercise of the week, but things that will be conducive to our being receptive to what the Lord has to give to us from the Word by the Spirit when we come together formally at 11 a.m. Now, I won't steal the thunder of those whose responsibility it is to produce a happy blend of discussion in the groups by reading to you the list of questions which I have in front of me. I will only say this. They are different, they are direct, they are important, and they are so direct in some cases that some will feel it's not the kind of thing I would like to discuss with anyone else in public. So be it. If our heart and conscience is probed and touched by the questions, if we would prefer to go over these things quietly as before the Lord, we can refrain from participation on that particular question. But if history repeats itself, and it probably will, once the discussions get going, I would think there's much more in the questions than can be exhausted in one brief hour together. And whether or not we face up to them privately in the Lord's presence, or whether we face up to them within the groups, they are questions which we must face up to in one way or another, if we are to be honest Christians. That's the workshops. As to the more formal comings together, in the morning and the evening. A regular practice over the years has been to deal with matters of doctrine or teaching in the morning readings, and then to have addresses on a more devotional or practical emphasis in the evenings, and that works very well. But on this occasion, in prayer before the Lord, it seems proper that we should spend time in thinking about the Lord Jesus, his person, his work, the way that he suffered, glories that emerged in the way that he accepted and endured the sufferings, glories that are manifested because of offices that he fills now, because of functions he performs for God and for man at the present time. And this includes references to things that shall emerge in the future. So the exercise is aptly summed up in this term, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Note, it is a scriptural term. It is a scriptural concept. First the sufferings, after the glory. We cannot read the scriptures without forming this early basis for any future detailed study of the scriptures, that the glory that shall follow is commensurate with the sufferings that he endured. It would have been neat and clean, I suppose, if we'd been able to spend the mornings exclusively thinking about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus in its many aspects. And it would have been clear-cut if we could then have turned in the evening addresses to think of the various offices that the Lord Jesus fills and how his glories emerge and are manifested in them. But as you will note from the published scriptures for the Bible readings, it is never as tidy as that. It's tidy, it's orderly, it's regular, but it's not ducated so minutely that we can say we can consider the sufferings without looking at the glory that shall follow. And we cannot certainly look at scriptures about his glories without seeing how they relate and flow out from and are an answer to the sufferings that he endured. Now, we have had some details published, and I have a list in front of me, listing the scriptures to be considered. Now, on Monday morning, we hope to look at suffering, the sufferings of Christ for the will of God. And I have the responsibility of introducing that particular exercise from Leviticus 1, Leviticus 6, and Psalm 40. On Tuesday evening, we are looking at the sufferings of the Lord Jesus that came upon him in his life in lowly manhood upon earth. And our brother George Bell will be introducing that particular session. On Wednesday, a very difficult session. All these sessions need our prayers, but particularly, I would suggest, Wednesday is most difficult, suffering during the closing stages of the sojourn on earth of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the later stages of the gospel record. And Brother Michael Johnson is going to introduce that one. On Thursday, we are looking at the sufferings of the Lord Jesus as God's perfect servant, and again, I hope to introduce that. On Friday, we are looking at a very solemn, sober scripture in Psalm 22, the subject being suffering for sin, and Brother Laurie Waller will introduce that one. And to keep a balance, we are looking at various terms that are going to be used during the week. And on tomorrow evening, for instance, Brother David Taylor is going to address us, speaking of the Lord Jesus as Saviour, a most comprehensive term. On Monday evening, Laurie Waller will speak to us of the Lord Jesus as Lord, speaking of his lordship. On Tuesday, Gordon Spratt will be speaking to us on the subject of headship, the headship of Christ. On Wednesday, Brother Tom Tyson will be speaking to us on the Lord Jesus as the apostle. And on Thursday, Brother Gordon Hughes, speaking of the Lord as high priest. On Friday, the ultimate address, Gordon Kell will be speaking of the Lord Jesus as King of Kings. Now, that is the detail, and it needs our prayers. But altogether apart from the detail, what I would like to think in promoting this exercise is that we should be made aware as never before that all ministry that is to be effective in our souls, productive, fruitful in our lives, must, whether it's doctrinal, devotional, or practical, it must be Christ-centered, Christ-orientated. And one scripture that we read, no time to comment on the wonderful detail, 1 John 3:3, every man that hath this hope in him, Christ, purifieth himself, even as he, Christ, is pure. It is true that as I become more acquainted with the truth of God, I should purify myself. That is a statement of fact, supported, taught by many scriptures. But that particular verse doesn't say that. It says that the outcome of concentrating our attention, having our hope centered in him who is to be manifested, Christ the Lord, that the outcome of that is that a measure of practical purification is produced in our lives. Don't let it be said, don't let it be thought, that because we are spending time this week in thinking and meditating and conversing together about the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us not be deceived into thinking it's not practical. Scripture is clear that the most practical thing that we can do is to spend time in conversing together about the Lord Jesus Christ, his person and his word. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I have various documents here which will be useful during the week to me and to others. In looking through them, I am noticing that there are certain terms which come out again and again. In the questions in the workshops, in the concepts to be considered in the Bible readings, in the terms that are to be considered in the evening addresses. Terms like doctrinal, devotional, practical, Jehovah, Messiah, remnant, offering, sacrifice, type, and prophecy. When these crop up in the workshops, say, if you don't know what it means, say, what does the word mean? This is an opportunity to go over some of these terms, but in any case, whether or not you feel too shy to ask in the workshops, don't be put off by the terms. An early understanding of the ideas, the thoughts, the concepts behind these terms are valuable in that they stay with us for the whole of our responsible Christian life. And again, apart from the detail, I remember the first two or three conferences that I came. Just a little detail here and there lingers, but the important thing is to gain impressions. Oh, I think those who are more mature would agree that altogether apart from detail, it's important to get good impressions, right impressions, lasting impressions about the Lord Jesus personally, about the various aspects of his work, the various terms and titles that are used of him, the various concepts that are summed up in these abbreviated terms, jargon, if you like. If we get a grip on the meaning of some of these terms early in our Christian studies, they will stay with us and they will prove valuable. That having been said, I suppose, in closing, it's fair to say, don't be upset if your favourite verse isn't dealt with in the Bible reading. Don't be too upset if the particular aspect about the terms being considered in the evening addresses don't emerge. You enjoy them in your own soul, and there will be something which is dwelt on which will be for the good of your own meditation. It is good to have a grasp of the framework of Scripture teaching, Scripture truth. But we need to be open. We need to be available to the Lord to show us something that we haven't seen before. And when we come together, let us rejoice in what is given. Let us give thanks together on blessing that we do receive. Let us start off the week with the intention of gathering up something precious about the Lord Jesus to take away with us. I've often found in conferences that it takes months, if not years, for the penny to drop. Something is said which I may or may not notice at the time. But weeks, months, or years later, it just fits into place. And in meditation upon the Scripture, in prayerful dependence before the Lord, he fits in for us the pieces of the jigsaw. Now, we don't want to be regimented this week. We would like to think that we are orderly. And there's time now for just a few minutes for us to spend in general prayer, for us all to pray. And while we are all praying, for some of the brothers to pray audibly, briefly, succinctly, specifically, that the Lord will bless the exercise of the week in thinking of the sufferings of the Christ and the glory that should follow.